long time since I've been live, since I've been on the Instagram. Oh, family, did you miss me? Oh, did you miss me? Did you miss me? It's been so long since I've been on this thing that we call the Instagram. We are here today. Oh, shout out to my guy. It's been a long time since we've been here on this Instagram. It's been a long time since I've done a podcast. So it's like getting back in the gym after not being in there for a while. You got to exercise those muscles. Today, we have a very special guest. Y'all know the Richie Moon Show was about intrigue. Y'all know the Richie Moon Show was about mystery and mystique. So actually, our guest today shall remain anonymous. So we shall, that will be her name for today. Her name will be anonymous. Y'all know I like my long-term stories. Y'all know I like to lay things out. So eventually, you will find out who this person is. You will find out the reason why she is anonymous, and I am glad to introduce Anonymous to the Richie Moon Show. Anonymous, how you doing?
Hey, I am fabulous. Thank you for having me.
Well, myself and Anonymous had a very unique experience. We worked on a cruise ship together.
Yes.
And the cruise ship life comes with a lot of wonderful, interesting experiences. You meet
adventures.
Right. Very adventurous. Very adventurous. So what was your experience like being on a cruise ship?
Extremely unique. So many good things. Some things I could have lived without. I think the best way to describe it was a unique perspective. It's like its own little world.
Right.
So
I described it as a city, as a city on the water.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of its own little community. You don't have the same time frames.
Nope.
You don't really have weekends. Every day is unique, you know. I really enjoyed it for the most part.
Yeah. Seriously. Like,
bitch, I'm sorry. I just literally fell into the brick.
Oh, gosh.
Trying to go up to Uncle Dre's house.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, I loved getting to kind of see the world from a different view. Visually, just the experience of it was amazing. The sunsets, the sunrises were my favorite part. Just getting to calm myself every day, like separate myself from society, center, and just be, you know, at peace, because there's not much you can do off the boat, you know? So I would say in one way, it was very simplified my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that. I really valued that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're so disconnected from the rest of the world, you can't really stress about it, let alone physically do anything about it. So,
right.
Just the simple things. Yeah, I loved that.
I was told on the ship by other people that have been there for a while that people who work on cruise lines, we have a couple of screws loose, that we are a couple of fries short a Happy Meal. Our elevator does not reach the top floor. Do you agree with such a claim?
I do. I think there's the good side of that and bad side. I mean, you have to be a special kind of person to be so emotionally independent,
right,
that you can exist away from your normalities, away from your society that you're used to, your family, your friends. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you have to be very self-reliant. And at the same time, you also have to be very disconnected from humans. So yeah, it's the pros and cons of it, but I definitely agree with that. I'm a unique person. A lot of people didn't last because of that. Immediately they're missing people or can't get the things they're used to, and it's overwhelming. But I liked that. So I must be one of those people with the screw loose.
I mean, I liked it too, to be honest with you. I did, and I have very close interpersonal relationships with people.
Same.
And yeah. I feel very strong bonds, but I love the opportunity of being somewhere else, being in a completely new state, being mm-hmm. foreign territory, meeting people that I've never met before, but just meeting new people. Like when I went to high school, I had a very diverse classmates. So when I went to college, I had very diverse classmates. So going into this, I honestly felt like it was a bit like college. Going into it, I kind of had that feeling.
Yeah.
So just to put the audience on game that may not know, you know, when you go to a cruise ship, no, I wasn't censored. So I'm, I'm live on Instagram. No, I wasn't censored. I just took a step back. And why I took a step back, that's going to be a whole podcast all in itself. But thank you. I appreciate you for asking. But yeah, I felt like the cruise ship in very much so was like high school, you know, you kind of people had their own cliques, you know, it's a new
very
place
much.
And all this stuff. So I know you you worked in
the culinary side?
Huh?
The culinary department, yes.
Yeah, you worked in the culinary. I didn't want to say it, but you worked in the culinary department. And
I did.
Did you... So like, was it like a culinary team kind of clique? And was
So the difference is, so there were, again, very different than the normal. I've been in the culinary industry for a very, very... And it's very different because you not only work with these people on a ship, you live with them on a ship. So it's right. Can just leave and go home and kind of revamp, kind of vent, whatever. You're stuck with these people. So
right.
The drama is amplified. I mean, there's no escape. So
have you ever seen the show Below Deck?
I have watched snippets of it because everyone would ask me constantly, is it like the show?
Right.
So I had to find out for myself. And much worse, the drama.
Because I never watched the show and I would get the same questions. Oh, is it like Below
constantly.
Deck? And I'm just like, I don't know what you're referencing. So all the drama, the who's dating who and all that was the same thing that was going on.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, different departments. So it's a lot more people than Below Deck is, you know, a lot more private boats and stuff. And we were, to specify, we were in river cruises, which are 50-something crew, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had about 50 crew members on a boat.
Yes.
And so, of course, there's the larger amounts, too. But, yeah, you have all the three different departments, a lot more interaction. But it's the same kind of mentality, just... You don't have anywhere else to go or anyone else to really talk with. So everyone just gets involved with each
right.
other. And it
right.
can cause a lot of problems.
What I will say to the audience that's watching and that's tapped in, first off, thank y'all. What I will say to y'all is if you have the space, if you have the opportunity to go work on a cruise line, even if you don't plan to make it a career, but I think
do
if you
it.
Have space in your life, yes. Go do it. Even
yeah.
if it's just for the experience, for the sights, for everything, just go do it. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing experience. So I would
yep.
highly recommend that.
Yeah.
Was this your first cruise line?
This was my first cruise line full time. Yeah. I did a couple. I worked a lot by the waterfront. So I did some private parties on boats and yachts before. But as mm-hmm. far as full-time living, this was my first cruise line. I now work for a different one. So we're about to find out more things at a much larger scale. I'm headed to a boat with, 900 and something crew. So.
Woo! That's going to be interesting. But I know there's a lot more leeway. They treat you like adults.
Yes.
They respect your intelligence.
Exactly.
That was one of my biggest issues, even besides my like my own issues, like just watching other people and just observing it, you know, like we said, family that's watching this, you know, this is very, this is a city on the water. You know, this is, you're putting a bunch of attractive people in the same space, 20 to 30. I mean, the ages range, but we usually, most of us are in 20s to 30s.
Yeah, a lot of right out of college and then up to 30-year-old something, yeah.
Right, and you're telling us not to drink, not to do drugs, not to have sex. And it's just, my thing is, if all the guests are satisfied and nobody's like, you know, having any big issues and everything is intact, why does it matter where I'm putting my private parts?
Exactly, yeah. And already with the company that I'm now working with, it's totally different. They don't have those restrictions. I mean, they don't encourage a lot of, you know, but they don't, even drinking, it's like the same as a normal job. Don't show up drunk, but besides that, you're an adult.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, that was the hardest thing with that, with the river cruises is, specifically, they treated you like children, yet wanted you to work like an adult. So
they wanted you to run like a slave.
Exactly. Okay. I mean, I'd average 16-hour days and they still would be like, well, you can't, you know, get off the boat and do stuff. You have to be back by midnight, or, you know, you can't hang out with these people or whatever. But yet we want you to produce twice as much as what's humanly impossible, you know, possible. Pay too.
Yeah, so I mean, let's get into that. Let's elaborate on that a little bit. So, you know, you had to, that was a typical average work day for you working in a culinary department. You're doing a 14 to 16 hour day every single day. And just for the frame of reference, family, there is no days off.
No weekends.
No weekends. It's just, you're straight
24/7. Not to mention, you live there, so if they need something, they'll come knock on your door. Like, there were multiple times where it'd be like, oh, I'm gonna go grab a quick nap because we're embarkment day, like there's no guests there yet or whatever, and right. I'd go to take a nap and then I'd have someone bang on my door, no, we need you to do inventory or something that I could, you know, let me get a nap, and I haven't slept more than 4 hours consecutively in weeks.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, good. I mean, our days would start. So the difference too, because there's not a lot of crew and there's not a lot of storage. Everything is very compact on the boats. They get as much out of you as they possibly can. So you're always understaffed.
Yes. And even so when we were fully staffed, we were understaffed.
Exactly. And with that, the guests are there. So the boat is being operated 24/7, but they don't have multiple people to do multiple shifts. So you're expected to just make it work. And so, yeah, for us, I mean, we would start before everybody and then we'd have to be done after everybody. So in the middle of the day, we'd have to find some sort of way to fix ourselves for our own breaks and things, because we were salaried employees and they do that because then they don't have to record the hours worked. And that's something I did not know going in, which I've learned a lot about, is because you are on the water, you are technically a mariner and you don't get the same kind of coverage by state employment laws.
Right. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I don't think that is something that people put into consideration. They don't even think about that. They just think about it, you know, oh, it's a cruise ship, it's a regular job. But no, when you go on those waters, things change. Laws change in the water. Policies change. So I'm glad you tapped into that.
So, yeah, with that, we have, there's specific acts that have recently been passed called the Jones Act and stuff that give us some benefits, but a lot of things are still not monitored. So overtime, breaks, you have to make sure that you're getting paid correctly for that. And that's only in the U.S. waters. If you do go outside of the U.S. waters, they don't have to pay you overtime because it's international. So there's a lot of things that you learn about, you know, very different to working in a like a state job where each state is monitored. Also, there's anything legal, the police have no jurisdiction. So you're at the mercy of, like you said, you're a city on your own, but you're separate outside of any state regulated. So if anything legal happens, if you're not at port, it has to go through the Coast Guard. It's really different. So I learned a lot of lessons about living on a ship that you would never think about. So.
Right. I didn't think. Okay. So I know things because, you know, we had some situations happen at the port and the police entered the ship at the port. But when you're on the water, it's Coast Guard laws.
Yeah. So everything has to legally be reported. If it is a crime that happens on water, it has to be reported in a certain amount of days. But that's contingent on the ship, the captain actually doing that.
Right, because oh my gosh
yeah, continue. we did have some stuff happen on different places, and I at one point we tried to tell them. They said, well, where were you exactly when it happened? And we said, well, I don't know, we were out on the river. And they said, so you don't know which city jurisdiction you're in. So unless you are actually docked at the port, the state, you know, police, medical, anything like that, you can't pinpoint it to one city. So it's a federal, which is covered by the Coast Guard. So it's a lot more complicated, especially when anything happens.
Yeah.
A lot more hands in.
Listen, family, there is a lot of things that happen on the water. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of married women who come in married, but when they're on the ship, oh, they're not
married. Nobody's married on the ship.
A lot of married men that come in, they're married right. When they're on the ship, but when they're working, then in the groove, they're not married, kids you go know, away, people
I mean, live. Hashtag ship life, I mean.
see, here's the thing. I heard about the ship life, right? I heard these rumors, oh, people pretend to be this and they do that, but It's not until you're actually in it.
Yeah.
That you're just like, whoa, you really are a different person.
Yeah, it's very different. It's like your whole life is open to everyone because you live, breathe, work, eat, sleep each other, but you have no idea who's doing what with who. So right. It's like, don't trust everybody, but don't trust anyone, but you have to trust everybody. It's a very different vibe. So I would tell people as I got, you know, more, a longer time on ship and like more aware of the situation, I would just tell them, keep to yourself, you know, make friends. It's great, but don't trust anybody because you don't know them for who they really are. It's whoever they want to be on the boat.
You know, I remember I used to date this girl. Shout out to Ashley. She'll never see this. Fuck you, by the way, but shout out to you. I used to date this girl, and she would tell me, you know, I was asking her about past relationships, and she was very adamant about not dating guys that she didn't know from her past. And I was kind of like, well, that's weird, because how do you know what this person can do for you, what this person can provide for you, right. What opportunities, how this person can elevate your mind, right? And I always wonder, why did she keep like such a small perspective when it came to dating? And then I realized, after having my own experience on the ship, why she did that. So her whole thing was, I don't want to date somebody I don't know. Like, I don't want to date somebody I don't have like mutual friends with, because they could be living a whole life.
Exactly. Yeah. I had my fair share of that, where I thought I knew someone.
You knew them, right?
I thought I knew them so well. I mean, we talked about traveling together. We were friends forever, you know. And then I had no idea their whole life. Nice. I mean, they weren't even from the city they said they were from.
What city did this person say they were from?
Houston, Texas?
No!
You know who I'm talking about.
That person is not from Houston, Texas.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about, and that person is not from Houston, Texas. Okay, family, there's been a couple people that's joined here in the live. Shout out to y'all. I appreciate y'all for tapping in. We are here talking about the cruise life. It's actually ironic here, Anonymous, because we're in March, and last year around this time,
oh wow,
I would be meeting you and several other people about a week from now
in San Francisco, right?
San Francisco. Yeah. So this is a funny thing. I can tell the story now. So I was there. So I got flown into Cali. They flew me into Oakland. I stayed in Oakland, and they drove me over to San Francisco. That day, I got there like hours before y'all docked there. And I was at the hotel across, and I was there the entire day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the people there, I guess they thought I was a guest there. And around 5 o'clock, they start happy hour, and they just give the guests there free beer. So I was just like, all right, I have no idea when the next time I'm going to be able to drink.
Because right.
The policy on the ship is no drinking, no smoke, no drugs, no rock and roll. That's what they said. No rock and roll.
Oh, constantly. Yep.
Constantly, no rock and roll. Even though those motherfuckers. Anyway, we'll get to them.
Right. They're the worst offenders.
We will get to them. Oh, we will get to them. That day, I was in that hotel room getting fucked up because I knew I wasn't gonna be able to drink or do anything for the next 4 seasons. So my first day on the ship, I walked on the ship all the way fucked up. Alcohol, blood level, beyond, and I had a mustache. I didn't give a damn.
You definitely did.
I didn't give a damn. It wasn't until like 2 days later, like when the captain met me, he was like, yeah, so you have to shave that or else I got to send you home. And I was like, all right. But I was rocking it out for as long as possible.
Yep.
Can you actually speak to that? Because all of our living quarters are, if anybody has been to college and they've been to like a college dorm room, it is, or if you just live in New York City, it is a very, very small, tight space. You see I'm getting up in this camera? Mm-hmm. That's how this space is. So, as a man, I don't have to shave. I choose to, but as a woman, being on there and all the extra things and all the extra steps of beauty that y'all put yourself through, much appreciated.
Oh, God.
Much appreciated, but you know, there's a lot of extra steps y'all go through. What was it like being a woman on a cruise ship working in this like extra medium space?
So, well, I was lucky enough, I never actually slept down in the below decks, and I usually had my own room. I actually only had a room with one person ever, and it was,
how was that?
only for like 6 weeks, and it was a pretty normal sized room with our own bathroom and everything, but it's still, I mean, from you never can get your hair done, which was like for me I normally wear extensions, so like just anything like that, you can't get to a hair appointment. There were a couple times where girls would try to like on their breaks go get a pedicure, never could get time or find a place close enough.
Astoria.
Once you have your itinerary, you kind of get used to the places and you can find the right, you know, where you're gonna have time or where the best food you like or the best places to shop for or whatever you need. For me though, I was constantly just no time. I mean, I barely had time to sleep. We were always short staffed. We always had not enough products, and so we were trying to figure out what we were doing. So I was lucky if I could. DoorDash became my best friend. Everything from shampoo to just anything. I would either Amazon Prime it, and once I found the hubs, or else DoorDash it from Walgreens, the grocery stores, whatever, because I could very rarely even get off the boat to get stuff. So, I mean, there were times we'd run out of laundry soap. I mean, oh, it's just a constant. We had to do our own laundry too. They don't tell you that. You're supposed to like do your own everything, your own bedding, your own uniforms, on top of not having time to even, you know, take care of your own stuff. So
right.
Yeah, it's very hard to be a woman on the boats, for sure. I'm lucky enough that I have good skin and I don't wear makeup a lot. Mm-hmm. But a lot of girls, they would take that extra 10, 20, 30 minutes, whatever, when they should have been sleeping because they were exhausted, to wake up and do it. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm not even going to try. No makeup. Can't do it.
I can't even imagine. Like,
yeah.
I can't even imagine, because I'm, a woman, which is, I'll say it again, much appreciated, but y'all go through these extra steps of beauty with the manicure, the pedicure, the
hair.
Well,
not to mention, I mean, God forbid you get your period on the boat.
Oh, good gosh. I mean, you said it, I didn't, but that was something I was really wondering. I mean, just like...
I have depo, so I don't get it, but the thing is, a lot of the girls, they, you know, get cramps, you get sick, they'd have to keep working, and I would have, you know, people I'd be training or working with, and I'd feel so bad. I'd be like, what can I do for you? Like, can I give you some medicine? Can I, like, go take some time? I mean, because, you know, some people get it really bad, and you need at least an hour or something for a heating pad or whatever. Right. But, yeah, it's a very difficult life.
Mm-hmm.
Physically. And then too, like, okay, even when you do have a good night's sleep, you might have a fire alarm go off.
Oh, let's speak about the fire alarms. Oh man, I've been woken up plenty of times during the night, during the middle of the day. I was a deckhand on ship, so that was literally my job. It was literally my job to, after a 12-hour shift, and it's usually 12 and a half hours, because at the end of a 12-hour shift, your first mate just really just wants to talk to everybody. He just
he gets
so gleeful. His heart just gets so light, full of joy, and he just wants to speak to everybody and tell everybody random stories about everything. And oh, let's go training. Let's go tour the ship. Oh, let's go watch grass grow. Let's go, I don't know.
Oh,
let's go
God.
Watch a Bigfoot jump off a pony's tail off. I don't know. Just anything. Just ridiculous. He just wanted to talk about the most ridiculous things, and we're sitting here looking at him like, bro, we've been working for 12 and a half hours. We don't give a fuck about how to tie
the
knot.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's your job. Teach him how to tie the knot. We don't need to be here for the shit.
Yeah.
Before I went on this rant, I was saying that for some reason.
We were talking about fire drills.
Right. So, on top of that, right, you know, this could be in the middle of the night, middle of the day, whatever the case is. You didn't did the 12 hours, whatever, how many hours you worked. You finally lay down for your slumber. You finally get into that sleep, and all of a sudden the fire drill comes.
Yeah.
You have to get up for it.
Yep. So or fun. The other worst, besides getting woken up with the fire drills, we would have one long afternoon where we could all get off the boat, and they'd decide right before everyone, we literally get like our civilian clothes, we'd get ready to leave, and you have to like scan off the boat. I had it happen at least 3 times, and they would choose, oh, there's no guests on board, they're all at excursions, now's the time for us to do all the drills. And once start them, you can't leave. And right. I would be like, are you serious? We were just going to go out to eat or go shopping, whatever, the one day that we would have time. And nope, instead, your man overboard drills and, oh my God, abandoned ship drills. And I'm just like, what? Fuck. It was, frustrating. And as a culinary professional, if a drill happens, if you're in the middle of making product, it's fucked. Like, you just have to leave it and walk away.
I was just about to ask that. So, like, you're in the middle of baking a cake, and a fire drill goes off, you just have to leave.
Yeah, I've had multiple things where, like, I just have to turn off the oven and leave and pray that I don't have to start it all over again when I get back. And it was frustrating. Not to mention, they're very inconsistent per ship. I was on 6 different ships last year, and
a little bit of everything, because we were out on the West Coast. So what else did you see?
So okay, I was out. I spent time down in San Francisco, Sacramento, up in the inlet there with you, and then I also spent time with you up in on the Columbia River, right?
Yes, Columbia Sink. Shout out to the Columbia Sink.
Yeah, so up and down there. And then from there, I went down to the Mississippi. And I actually went on, so I was on two different boats over, well, actually three. The song, okay, so three different boats on the West Coast. And then I was on three different boats full time, and actually a seventh boat, very, very short, on the Mississippi River. So I did two different boats that went in the New Orleans area. So they went all around from Baton Rouge, New Orleans, up to Memphis. And then we also from there did one cruise on the same, it extended up to Nashville. And then I also spent time all the way from Red Wing, Minnesota, down to Alton, Chicago, or like the Chicago area, but it's Alton, Illinois. So yeah, I saw the entirety of the Mississippi River.
That's dope.
That was really cool. The West Coast was a lot prettier for sunsets.
Hold on one second, Anonymous. We have a question. And what cruises are these? I never knew the thing. Yes, there are. So for the family that's watching, there are several, as Anonymous was just explaining. There is a Mississippi River. There is a East Coast when you're going through New York, Maine.
The Hudson River, yeah.
But yes, the Hudson River, you're going through Boston. There's also further down the East Coast, down in Florida. Oh, excuse me.
The Keys, yeah.
But even before you get there, they had some going from, leaving from like Baltimore in the East area, going down to like the top of Florida to like Jacksonville. And also, I think it's either North or South Carolina that has ports out there. I don't think that company that we worked for stopped there, but I know that there are ports there. So I would definitely recommend to the people that are watching on there, I would recommend taking a river cruise. I think
they're beautiful.
Yeah, they're super dope, super fly, super romantic, very unique. You'll end up learning a lot of things about where you're at that you had no idea.
And in a weird way, I mean, I kind of fell in love with the, like, America for its land. I've driven a lot, you know, I've done road trips all the way through the country. I've actually taken the train all the way down the West Coast, as well as all the way from Minnesota to Washington. I've taken road trips all the way to Texas from Washington. I've seen a lot of it, but it was a completely different view from the water. Also, the cruises, even though I like big cities, I did really enjoy the very intimate, very, you know, a small town vibe that a lot of the ports are at. I mean, some of them I enjoyed more than others. I did really like California. That was a unique, because you did get the big city with the small, so like San Francisco, Sacramento, really great, twice a week to get to go to a big city thing, and then the Napa Valley, and then those other little small cities, and it was a mixture of it. New Orleans was really cool, but the only thing about the Mississippi is there was just so many bugs. I couldn't stand the bugs.
Mosquitoes
everywhere, and they're huge.
When you're there, like, family, like, I've heard, like, you know, for the deckhands that have to, like, get out and, like, you know,
they have to shovel. They literally shovel bugs off of the top deck. It's insane. I have a video somewhere that one of the deckhands sent me that it is a dustpan, like, full, just shoveling these bugs. They're the they're like the lightning bug things. I forget what they're called. But they come, so we have to turn different than the West Coast. At night, they turn all the lights off on the river when we're out on the river, because it attracts all the bugs and it coats the windows. Like, you wake up to just bugs. It's nasty. So, did not like that. But the sunsets, again, are just gorgeous everywhere. I've seen them from every corner of this country now. And
Those sunsets and sunrises are completely unforgettable. Family, if you've never been,
unreal.
Just for you, that is an experience all in itself.
Yeah. Well, the quietness too. I mean, you're just, it's just so calm. You can't hear any cars, of course. You can't, there's no city lights, so the stars are just everywhere.
I feel like I've seen like every, I mean, I haven't seen all the astrology, but like, you know, like you're speaking about being on a river with no light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Footage of the stars that I have, like, people dream about. Like, it's like, I forget what it's called. You know, like the little dome, like when we were kids. And what is it called?
I don't know.
There's a word for it. It's like a big dome that you're in.
I don't know. You lost me.
Oh, okay. When we were little kids, like, it's not an auditorium. It's not an auditorium. But that's like,
But you know what I'm referencing? It'll come to me.
Right. But yeah. Being out in a river, a planetarium, yes.
There you go. You. Yep.
Planetarium, yes. And that's what it's like riding on the river in the middle of the night because there's no light pollution. You get to, so actually, this is actually an experience I never told anybody about. I spoke about this with one of my teachers, shout out to Blue Pill. I spoke about this, and I only spoke about this because this is where he brought up this subject. I remember specifically being on the Columbia Snake River, and we were about to go through a lock. Now, for everybody that doesn't know what a lock is, the river works in kind of levels, and so a river might be like, I'm showing them with the hands, you can't see, but a river might be like this. So when you go into a lock, the ship enters, and then the water rises, so you can go like this. Before we were about to go into a lock, I remember being on the top deck, looking up into the sky, and I remember the star just kept getting really bright. So I'm sitting there, I'm kind of transfixed on it, because at this point, it's really, really bright. And you can see all the stars out there, but this star is specifically, like, illuminated. And I start to look at it, and as I start to, like, look at it and get more curious about it, the star starts to get brighter. And I remember walking, I'm on the top deck, and then I walk down to the fifth deck, which is the fifth deck. And I started to feel my heart beat a lot faster. I started to get the emotion of fear. And when I started to feel that, the star just, it went dim. I went back inside for a second. I took a breath. I was like, I know what I just seen. Let me go back outside and look again. And then when I went back outside, I looked for the star again. And I kind of smiled and breathed and just took in the moment and just took it for what it was. When I tell you, the star started changing in multiple colors. And then it just stood over the ship for a while, and it kind of swayed. And I don't know how long I was out there at this point, but it just started to sway, started to turn different colors. And then that was it. It just kind of just disappeared. Wow. I never told anybody about that because it was just like, what am I going to say? I was outside right. the top, seeing a star. And then it was funny because I remember being in the kitchen and a couple of our coworkers, this was at another spot, another time, they was like, hey, did everybody just see that? I was like, what are you talking about? There was like, we were just outside and we just seen a bunch of lights in the sky. So it's, you get to see some interesting views.
Very, yeah, it's nice, unique.
Right, with no light pollution and all that, so.
Yeah. I'm excited, yeah. I mean, in, like you said, in a nutshell, do it. It's an experience that is so unique and so special. Mm-hmm. And I think for each person, they find something different. For me, it kind of, I never, ever would have thought of working on a cruise ship. I mean,
right.
I've been in the industry. I made a successful career out of it. Like, it kind of approached me. And if I did have, you know, some of the experiences, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it as much, but
right.
I was able to have a lot of kind of time to recenter and, like you're saying, have experiences like that where I kind of got to know myself a lot more. Just because not just the physical noise, but you emotionally the universe is quieted because all of those distractions that we don't realize are there every day are gone. I mean, you don't have to pay bills like your utilities, or you don't have to go grocery shopping. You don't have appointments to make. You wake up, you do your job, and then you just are. Like,
right. Life was a lot simpler.
Exactly. It's an experience that I've really never had in my life. I mean, even as a kid, I grew up in a very just... I practiced music hours a day after school. I had projects. I had events. I had, then I was in college, and then I was working, and then I was, in relationships. Then I owned a business. Then I, it's always been something. And even though I had my career, it's just friends, family, acquaintances, everything. It was constantly something, one to the next. And I don't know, the boats, it really calmed my life down in such a way that now I value time a lot more.
Yes.
Everything is a lot more purposeful because on the boats, it's like you can't, unless it's important, you can't do it. So, I mean, even when I would have conversations, because I do miss my family or my friends when I'm out there, but, and I've dated well on the boats too. So that's a whole nother thing, like having to keep in contact with people and they don't understand that you lose track of time or days.
Very easy.
Yeah, but even with that, when problems would arise at home, and I went through some really personal traumas while I was on the boat, and I physically couldn't do anything. I was in the middle of a river, sometimes out on the ocean when I was down in California, and it's like, you have no control physically over it, and so it forces you to mentally calm and control yourself because you can't do anything. So it really taught me some great life lessons. I valued it.
Yeah. And, I've said this to you off camera, off air, and I think that whether you're apologizing to somebody or you are giving them praise, that needs to be loud off mic as it is in the public. So I want to go ahead and publicly thank you for before we get there, I want to thank you one for like always looking out when we were on the ship. I'm a vegetarian for those who don't know, and sometimes they just didn't always cater to that. And Anonymous always made sure that I was good. She really always made sure that you were very missed when you left. And I also wanted to thank you for the second part. A lot of people, if you see, I dropped a video earlier talking about the Richie Moon Show coming back and the podcast, specifically the podcast coming back. And some people say that they don't post their losses on the internet. People say, oh, you just show your wins. Not me specifically. You show your wins. You just show the best sides of me. One of the reasons why I pulled back on the podcast is because I got tired of talking about my fucking losses. And I felt like I needed to take some accountability and realize there's something that I'm doing in my life for me to experience all these losses. So I say all that to say, it took me such a long time to be able to speak about the cruise life. I'm gonna go ahead and speak directly to the audience. One of the reasons why it took me such a long time to actually speak about this very important part of my life that very much shapes the person that I would be after that experience was because it came with a lot of hurt. This cruise came with a lot of hurt. On this cruise that just...
Apologies, podcast family, that interview just cut off so briefly. On the live, sometimes things do get a little lost in transition. You know, I'm just getting back, just got to work that muscle out. So that is my fault completely. But I ended the podcast off saying my biggest takeaways from the cruise, you know, really just leaning into my life lessons of love over fear, because working on that cruise line, it does take a lot of, it takes a lot of gall. It takes a lot of heart, because you're essentially just dropping your life and going to work on a floating city, you know. And some people, I don't have a wife, I don't have kids, I don't have any big commitments. Some people have marriages, kids, businesses, and all this things going on. So I say all that to say that, you know, it's a big risk working on a cruise. It also comes with big rewards, and we will explore that and many other subjects when it comes to this particular line of work coming up in future episodes as we do the podcast version of the Cruise Saga. With that being said, I am the Prince Richie Moon. This is the Richie Moon Show, and this has been a Moon's Eye View.